This is Mark Taylor of Educators for Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mumia's audio essay entitled Incarceration Nation was sent to me for my students at Princeton Theological Seminary in a class I teach on incarceration. He wrote it while in the hole, the restricted housing unit at State Correctional Institution Mahanoy. Before I knew he was going to be in the hole, I had invited him to phone in a spoken commentary to my class, as he had done on two other occasions. Once Mumia went into the hole, I expected to hear nothing. It is testimony to his indomitable spirit and political commitment, though, that Mumia got this five-page handwritten text and discerning analysis out to my class while in the hole. Then, on one of his first days out of the hole, he recorded the audio tape you were about to hear, only slightly altered from the handwritten text. I found this audio version in my online Dropbox as a surprise, he said. This was made possible also by the good efforts of Prison Radio's Noel Hanrahan. Again, this is Mark Lewis Taylor. Now enjoy this, another fine commentary from Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Incarceration Nation. Fellow students, Dr. Mark Lewis Taylor, I thank you all for this rare opportunity to join you, this time back on tape. For the first time in nearly three decades, I join you for the first time free from a death sentence, yet I write from the nation's only growing public housing population, its prisons. As Michelle Alexander, Angela Y. Davis, and a plethora of scholar activists have more than aptly demonstrated, we are in the throes of an imprisonment fever, holding millions of men, women, and children in shackles. It is what I call Incarceration Nation. As this is both an academic as well as a theological setting, I intend to share with you voices that may not necessarily be commonly heard or expressed here, but are vital to the mission of institutions such as these, as they arise from the very heart of black religious practice, albeit of various spiritual traditions. Indeed, the first is drawn from a uniquely artistic tradition, and is therefore a performance of a performance, so to speak. You'll understand more shortly, I bet. For the black preacher has been, since Africans arrived on these shores, the central voice of black yearning, black hope, and yes, black resistance to the system of white supremacy and racist terror against black life. Acclaimed black dialect poet Paul Lawrence Dunbar, in his 1896 poem, An Antebellum Sermon, brings out the soul and the satire inherent in black life and the traditions of the black preacher. Thus, we is gathered here, my brothers, in this howling wilderness, for to speak some words of comfort to each other in distress. Now, El Pharaoh, down in Egypt, was the worst man ever born, and he had the Hebrew chillin' down there wicking in his comb. So, well, the Lord got tired of his fooling, and says he, I'll let him know. Look here, Moses, go down to Pharaoh and tell him to let them children go. But for fear someone mistakes me, I will pause right here to say that I'm still a preaching ancient. I ain't talking about today. But I tell you, fellow Christians, things will happen mighty strange. Now, the Lord done this for Israel, and his ways don't never change. And the love he showed to Israel wasn't all on Israel spent. Now, don't run and tell your master that I's preaching discontent. Because I isn't. I's a judging Bible people by their acts. I's a giving you the scripture. I's a handing you the facts. Because old Pharaoh believed in slavery. But the Lord, he let him see that the people he put breath in, every mother's son was free. But when Moses, with his power, comes and sets us chilling free, we will praise the gracious master that has given us liberty. And we'll shout our hallelujahs and that mighty reckoning day when we recognize the system. Chilling, let us pray. Paul Lawrence Dunbar, mind the rich motherlode of black speech and oration to fund his poetry. And while it may sound somewhat new to some students here, I assure you, As someone who accompanied his mother to a Black Baptist church in his childhood, the rhythms and intonations of Dunbar are as familiar as an old relative. That said, it was penned over a century ago, and new deliveries, new attitudes, and even new religions were inevitable. By the 60s, voices such as Malcolm X's would ascend to the pulpit in the name of an American-born Islam, such as that of the Nation of Islam, which would use new rhythms and a different message to give voice to the black spirit. The following text is one of his sermons, and it's typical. My brothers and sisters, our slave masters, Christian religion, has taught us black people here in the wilderness of North America that we will sprout wings when we die and fly up into the sky where God will have for us a special place called heaven. This is white man's Christian religion used to brainwash us black people. We have accepted it. We have believed it. We have practiced it. And while we're doing all of that for himself, this blue-eyed devil has twisted his Christianity to keep his foot on our backs, to keep our eyes fixed on the pie in the sky and heaven in the hereafter, while he enjoys his heaven right here on this earth in this life. Of course, the differences in tone, in structure, and even in language are, to say the least, striking. Yet both forms are reflections of the central concerns of black people: freedom, liberty, here, now. And it might also be said that both forms resulted in the frustration of hopes dashed, for in Dunbar's time, black people were experiencing the great betrayal of Reconstruction, where all the promises of the Constitution's 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were sacrificed on the altar of white supremacy and KKK terrorism, and ignored for most of the 20th century. In Malcolm's time, meanwhile, we were in the opening innings of the mass incarceration period, where, despite declining crime rates, prison populations with predominantly black incarcerees would literally rise tenfold between 1970 and the 90s. Little wonder that the tones would change until today, when we're an incarceration nation with millions behind bars. Malcolm knew something of this, for he did nearly a decade in prison, where he experienced his conversion to the Nation of Islam's teaching. I think that experience steeled him and made him the outstanding minister he would later become. It deepened and sharpened his critique. And yet, we're still an incarceration nation, the prison industrial complex, where prisons are America's sole remaining growth industry. I thank you. From Incarceration Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.